Some messages about faith, which I do from time to time as the Lord leads. And I was preaching some weeks back on faith has to be worked on. And I believe that that was well received. And we have these messages on our website for those who have not heard these. I was also speaking a few weeks ago, faith will always triumph in whatever adversity, whatever situation. Faith will always triumph, as history clearly shows us. And tonight I'm speaking a bit more about faith, and I'm calling this teaching tonight Immovable and Unshakable Faith. Immovable and unshakable faith. And I'm taking our text tonight from Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, which says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That, of course, is speaking of faithful Abraham. And I will talk a little bit further on that, but I'm basing tonight from that unmovable, unshakable faith, which it clearly says, because it says, and he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So Abraham's pilgrimage and walk with God, as God was working with him, clearly shows, reveals that he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. All that he was going through, all that God had promised and was promising, he didn't waver. In other words, it means that he didn't rebel against it. He didn't question it. He didn't argue about it with God. He might not always have been in that place of fully understanding or believing, but he never questioned God's faithfulness. And that is ultimately what God is doing with us as the overcomers. As God challenges us, and believe me, we are at times challenged. And with whatever happens or circumstances, whatever we read in the Word of God, God is ultimately getting us to a place where we don't waver. We're not shocked. We're not pushed over, pushed aside. I don't understand, but in time God will reveal in the way that he always does in his sovereign time. And it says that he didn't waver at what? The promise of God through unbelief. So the promises of God which we hold in the word, we read all these promises, he didn't waver. He didn't question. And it applies the same with us today. We don't or shouldn't question these promises that we hold in God's word. And that is why he's working with us, because still at times we're still not quite convinced or influenced, and we still want to sort of try and analyze or work it out, or why didn't this happen, what went wrong, and so forth. Okay, God knows, he knows our weaknesses, but ultimately at the end of the day we're not to waver, because we know that God wrote this and not us. God spoke it, not us. And it says that both were strengthened in faith. It also means that he was continually being strengthened. It was a building up, which is what faith is about. And all of us should be stronger now in the faith than when we were first saved. Even though our faith at times seems different when we were younger, I know at times a lot of us say, I don't know, it was easier when I was first saved, believing somehow, it didn't seem to be such a problem. Well, it was the milk of the word. We're now onto the solids. We're now growing, maturing. God's working that overcoming faith, that enduring faith, a faith that isn't questioning anymore. So if we are walking with the Lord, and we've been with the Lord now 10, 20, 30, 40 years, or even longer, you are, like Abraham, are having a faith that is being strengthened, giving glory to God. And that is the reason. Your strength, your faith, my faith, is for the glory of God. And God knows how to glorify his name. And he will glorify his name. And there are times in this walk when we are asking ourselves, Lord, do you really want to glorify your name? Do you want to be seen? Do you want your glory to be seen? Because at times it seems as though the devil is having the upper hand. It looks as though his devilish work seems to get more of the glory than you. It can feel like that sometimes. But I can well assure you, God is on the throne, and he works in ways so different to the world, to man, and even the devil. God is jealous for his glory, and I don't really think we need to actually have to remind him. Sometimes God likes us to hear us mention his glory, and to defend his glory, and to be jealous for his glory. Oh, he likes that. He appreciates that. But to glorify his name, he will do it because he is sovereign and knows how to do it. I think where the glory of God is, the glory of God is at God's right appointed time. And that's the problem we have. He's got to do it now. And we question it if he doesn't glorify his name now. But God has always got a right time for his glory. Why? Because he's preparing the scene. He's setting the scene. We do not see how God sees. He is preparing the scene, setting it so that he gets the greatest glory. If he did it now, because we want him to, it probably would not give him the glory that he's due. That's probably why. So we see in this that we're not to waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but to be strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now there are, just to go over this, because we have new members coming in, joining us in fellowship tonight, just to recap, there are two Hebrew words basically for faith, trust and faith. And the first is translated to believe or to trust. And this means to be propped up, to stay. It's a support. It's to stay oneself, if you like. And the second understanding, to trust, seems to imply is to cast oneself upon something. In the case is that we cast ourselves totally upon God. We abandon ourselves completely on Him. And so, as we stay, we cast ourselves upon Him, so we cast ourselves upon His Word, upon His character, His faithfulness, His love, His grace, His mercy, all His attributes, everything that He is. We cast ourselves totally upon that. That's the idea of to trust, to have faith. And we stay ourselves upon Him because it's dependent upon a relationship. Faith, our believing, our trusting Him, is based on relationship. And to have a relationship with God, you must indeed be truly born again, filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, pressing on into a deeper life and walk with God. And so that God begins to work with us on the level of a relationship. Because that is what our walk, commitment, covenant to Christ is about. It's ultimately about a relationship. And as we grasp this relationship covenant that we have with Him, we then begin to understand what faith is about. And that relationship that we have with Him, as He has with us, causes us to be cast upon Him, to rely upon Him, just like in a marriage. The wife depends on the husband, and the husband depends on the wife. You cast yourself upon that person, trusting them, because we know that a relationship, a marriage, is based on trust. When that trust is broken or violated, there can't be that same dependence upon that person. You have become independent. You no longer are casting your weight upon that person any longer. There's areas within you that you can't really fully trust. So you become independent in that relationship. And that's what can happen with us as believers. Sometimes when we doubt God, or we're not spending the time with Him as we should, or in fellowship, in prayer, and with believers, we start to become independent of Him. And so by faith we're no longer casting ourselves, leaning upon Him any longer, which He wants us to do. Because ultimately this can only come through this relationship that we have with Him. And this is what God was teaching Abraham, this walk of faith. That he came to a place where he never staggered any longer at the promises of God, but knew that he was faithful in whatever he required, whatever he required of Abraham, whatever Abraham saw, whatever obstacle was in front of him, his walk, he came to a place of walking totally by faith. And that is ultimately what the Holy Spirit is doing with each one of us, else we won't stand in these last days. We will be sidetracked. We will be hoodwinked. We will in some way fall victim to the spirit of this age, to the arm of the flesh, and so on. That is why God is delivering us, setting us free. Now, bearing that in mind, we can also now look at verses 19 through to 21. And it says here, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So Abraham, in his old age, believing for a son, which God had promised, an heir, we are shown here that God had so worked with him, with his faith, that he was fully convinced, fully influenced, persuaded, that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. God had promised, therefore God was able to perform the promise. Notice, it wasn't Abraham having to do it. He simply believed that God, being God, was able to do it. And that is where we come unstuck so often. It's my faith that's got to do it. It's my faith that's got to work to that place. It's God performing what he has promised. For all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And so our embracing those promises of God, all God wants of us is to believe in those promises, and he will perform the rest for his glory. That is why faith is that rest. And we fail to get into that rest in faith, Hebrews 4, because we still think we have got to work our faith. I have got to make my faith work. And you can't. It's always on the basis of believing. When Jesus challenged people for when they needed healing, blessing or whatever, he challenged them on the basis of faith. Are you believing? That's what he looked for. And when faith was present, Jesus did the performing. That is the healing. God doing it through him. And their faith was the basis of receiving the performing acts of through him. The same when we pray. The same when we pray for the sick or we lay hands on the sick. It is their faith receiving from God, but it is God performing that miracle. And it's simply the faith receiving. It's not faith having to work to get God to perform a miracle. That's never how he saved us. That is not what faith is for. It is simply believing for God to perform. And that sometimes takes us a long time to get to that place, as it was with Abraham. So it is at times with us. I'm calling it tonight immovable and unshakable faith. That is what we're talking about. That we all ultimately come to a place where our faith can no longer be shaken. It is resolute. It is grounded in him, in his love, his promises, that relationship covenant that I have with him. Let's turn also to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 21. Acts 11, 19 to 21. Here it's in the context of where Paul defends God's grace and mercy, and where Paul and Barnabas and Saul are at Antioch. And here we take it up in verse 19, where it says, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." The saints had faith here, an unshakable, unmovable faith, and they held on through great persecution. The stoning of Stephen and persecution going out, the church is scattering. But what are they doing? Are they fleeing, hiding in dens? Oh, what's happening to us? What's happened to the church? What's happened to our meetings and so on? No. What do we see here? Some of them, they went forth, scattered through the persecution, preaching the word of God, sharing the good news. They were not unmoved. Their faith wasn't shaken through this persecution. God was with them. And you see, our faith is going to be tried. Our faith is going to be tried because it's tried to bring about obedience. So often our faith is tried, is tested, because that is where God is trying to work obedience in us. And those early Christians knew what exactly to do. They didn't go off griping and moaning and why has this happened to us. They fled, yes. Anyone's going to flee if there's persecution. You're going to get out of a house if you're going to smell smoke. But the point was, they were still active and they're favouring the word of God. They didn't say to themselves, well, this doesn't look very good, does it? Sharing the gospel, sharing the word of God, and here we are scattering and we can't any longer meet, and the church has had to scatter. Not a very good witness, not a very good testimony, is it? No, they didn't think like that. They counted it a privilege. They knew. It was expected. They'd heard Jesus' teaching that to make it into the kingdom of God, you must go through much trial and tribulation. Why is it still these trials take us sometimes by shock, by surprise? We shouldn't be. Because God is working an immovable, unshakable faith within us, bringing about that obedience. Let's look also to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. We know all this faith chapter very well, don't we? Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. Let's take this up. And here it's speaking on the faith of the patriarchs. And it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." So God had worked with Abraham to a place where he didn't question. He was just moving because God would perform. How do we know that he believes God will perform? Because he said, if I slay my son, he will raise him up. And only God can raise us up. That is God performing, is it not? If God doesn't perform, none of us will be raised up from the dead. And so he believed. By faith Isaac believed Jacob, Esau, concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. Not many dying people do that sort of thing, do they? Notice what it says, he's dying. Do you know many people who start worshipping and praising God as they're dying? Not many, but a man or woman of faith will. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. So a dying man is getting his house prepared, his house set. Faith in operation. God glorifying his name. You see, our faith that God is ultimately working in us is a faith that is manifested by disregard to all difficulties that lie in the way. He is ultimately working a faith that will disregard, ignore any difficulties that lie in the way. And all the while it's still taking your time up, your anxiety, your fears, you've not yet come to that place yet that the Holy Spirit is working in us. Because God has got to get us to a place where we're not going to be affected by any difficulties for God to perform, to glorify his name. All the while we become anxious, get in the way, God can't perform, can he? For God to perform, he says, get out of the way. And I'm waiting for you to get out of the way. He's waiting for all of us, brothers and sisters, for us, you, me, to get out of the way for him to perform, to glorify his name. And for the church to make herself ready, for the bride who is making herself ready, we all of us have got to get out of the way and to stop telling God how to build his church, his body, for the last day. All he ever asks of us is to meet together. He says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst, to trust him, believe him, that he is the master builder, restoring, bringing back his divine headship over his people, bringing back the gifts, the apostolic faith, the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. What for? So that God again will perform. He will do it. But we have to get out of the way. And he just wants that simple, childlike faith just to believe that he will do it. And that's why all these difficulties, and there are many of them, and a lot of those difficulties are us, but he's removing them by his mercy and grace, because he works in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. Hebrews 11:27 says here, and by faith he forsook Egypt, fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that is Moses. Moses, we're told, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. In other words, had no disregard to all the difficulties of him leaving Egypt, leaving Pharaoh's court. That was not easy. We need to understand and appreciate that. There was a lot of obstacles that Moses had to overcome, free from Egypt, Pharaoh. But God so worked in him that he took no regard anymore for those difficulties. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so it goes on. The children of Israel, for them to be released from Egypt and to start to worship and to seek God in the wilderness, they had to overcome all the difficulties, all the control of Pharaoh. But we note how God delivered them, how he dealt with that control of Pharaoh, which was witchcraft. That's what it was at the end of the day. We call it exactly what it was. It was witchcraft working through that man, holding God's people's back. It's witchcraft today, control, that tries to hold us back. But are we going to have fear over that? Are we going to be anxious? I can't get free from this control, this witchcraft and so on. No. We take disregard to all difficulties. If God can release a nation from witchcraft, I'm pretty certain he can release you. And he is. The spies that were sent out came back with the report. They were in faith. They saw the obstacles. But they said, we're well able to overcome the giants of the land, those obstacles. But as a result, it sorted out those who were in faith and those who were not. And that is why God uses trials to show those who are and those who are not. Now, the children of Israel could have repented. They could have said, Lord, there's fear in us. We've heard there's giants in the land. And there's fear manifesting us. And we don't know how we're going to overcome. But Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, you know, just help us. But they chose not to do that. What did they choose to do? Rebel. Excuse themselves. And wish to God we were back in Egypt. And as a result, they perished on the basis of their confession. Did you know you can perish on the basis of your confession? What comes out of your mouth. This is why we need to walk close with God. And when we do fall short, and we will, and we do, just bow that knee, forgive me. Father, there's unbelief there, there's fear. Please, in your mercy, remove it. I want to walk by faith. I want to be obedient. I don't want to be held back by these obstacles. But I want to come to that place of an immovable and unshakable faith. He will work that. Because he loves us. You know, when I find myself talking like that before God, being completely frank and open and honest, I just say, Lord, I thank you that that is your mercy and grace worked in me to do that. And I so appreciate it. Because I don't stand a chance otherwise. I just thank God when I hear that, Father, forgive me, come out of my mouth. Because I know that doesn't lie in my own strength. That's the grace and love and mercy of God worked in me to be able to see and understand that. And I so appreciate it. I really do. Hallelujah. You see, faith is manifested by our steadfastness in that path of obstacles. And any Christian, any believer who doesn't think that they're going to have obstacles in their path are deceived. Because you will. And They're going to be there. And you know what? You don't even have to look for them. They suddenly are there. Hallelujah. And so when that obstacle comes up, or you are facing an obstacle, and I'm sure there's a lot of us, and there's a lot of our brothers and sisters who are in the room here tonight, will say, amen with me, I've got obstacles, brother. Stuff. Well, they're there for a reason. They're not there by chance. It's not an accident. God knows what he's doing. Those obstacles there in your life, my life, are to bring us to a steadfast faith, believing. What does it say in Hebrews 11, verses 24-26? When he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses, whom we're told could have probably been next in line to be Pharaoh, he chose to associate with the lowly. He chose to associate with those who were sincere, not the passing pleasures of sin and enjoyment. He actually chose that path. Now, of course, God was working in him to open his eyes to this. And it goes on, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And the reward, of course, was Jesus Christ himself. God has to open your eyes to see that. This is why we're always saying that the Christian faith is a faith based on revelation. Flesh and blood cannot reveal it. You cannot get to God through the intellectual carnal mind. You have to be renewed, born again, made of another spirit. God is revelation, and those that worship him in spirit and in truth. And so God ultimately opens our eyes to see these things. And every time God opens our eyes, there is a responsibility that is attached to it, because that is light. And so we have to move toward that light. And to become responsible, growing up, taking on sonship. But it's also revealing that we're steadfast and that we're not going to be put off by any obstacles. And there are many of them. You see, our faith is seen by no visible signs outwardly. We don't have anything to actually hold on that is tangible. We're told that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word of God, as we read these promises, are promises, and as we embrace them, then they visibly come into this realm in time. But when we look at it, we read it, it is a revelation at that point. You are receiving the light of God's word, which is revelation, and choosing to believe that revelation. And then as we stand, we endure, and we embrace and hold these promises, so in time, the evidence then is seen. Evidentially seen. But sometimes it takes a time. It took Abraham 40 years to finally see his son. It's as it says in verses 20-21. Of Hebrews 11. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob, Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the saints, Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. So he was seeing ahead. He was seeing a remnant that will be restored to their homeland. The homeland was important for restoration. All of what's been speaking here, speaking out in the future, is talking about the seed of the coming Messiah, Jesus, whom they saw afar off. And you're talking of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years down the line for when Messiah came. And we're now in several thousands of years. The church age, nearly 2,000 years. And here we are looking up, for our redemption draws nigh, for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that isn't a history of walking by faith, I don't know what is. You see, our real joy and satisfaction can only come through faith. You can only ever be satisfied through faith, because faith reveals the love of God, the fellowship of God, relationship of God, the sovereignty of God. Everything that God is, we receive it on the basis of faith. And that's why we should love faith. That is why I never tire of a faith teaching. Because my real joy and satisfaction can only come through faith. And how the devil tries to destroy this faith teaching. Because he'll try to bring a heaviness. He tries to bring us down into depression and oppression. And you can often find, when you are going through that, he's hindering you from the joy of believing by faith and receiving that faith teaching. Hallelujah. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, now as I bring this to a conclusion? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Here he says, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy unexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Whom having not seen, you love. How can you love someone you can't see? And yet we do. Because it's by faith. And that's why we love faith, because faith gets us to love the one at the moment we can't see, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Peter saw it. What does it say in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 7? John, chapter 7, verses 38, 39. John chapter 7, verses 38 to 39. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he says, out of your hearts will flow rivers of living water. What is that living water? It's faith. Believing. And we do that now through the Holy Spirit's ministry and sealing in our life. Hallelujah. So we never hunger and thirst anymore, because we walk by faith. And finally, our scripture is John 6:35. John chapter 6 and verse 35, which says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Faith. So our real joy and satisfaction can only come through faith. Why? Because you will never hunger and you will never thirst anymore. Because you now walk by faith and not by sight. And that is why God is ultimately working with us, and in immovable and unshakable faith, we, brothers and sisters, have to stand in this last day. We do not know what is round the corner. We do not know how much freedom we still have, like we're having tonight, coming together in fellowship like this, whether in this place or on the internet. We don't know. We don't know what lies around the corner. We don't know what persecution there is. We know that our freedom and liberty is gradually being eroded and taken away from us. Probably Big Brother tonight is watching and scrutinizing this meeting. Probably it's happening. I say, praise the Lord. Praise God, we've nothing to fear. Why? Because it's an immovable and unshakable faith. And sometimes we are shaken. Sometimes we just feel, I can't go on. I feel I've come to the end. But God is right there to hold us, sustain us. Why is that? Because it's this idea that I gave at the beginning, that our faith, that we lean upon Him in relationship. Our whole weight, our whole life, our whole future, our whole destiny, our whole being is laid upon Him. That's what it's about. Your life is in His hands. Your future, where you are, where you will be, is in His hands. For that to be achieved and experienced, God is working an immovable, unshakable faith. Hallelujah. Father, tonight again, we thank You. We thank You that You have spoken into our lives, into our hearts. We thank You that faith comes by hearing this word. Lord, the faith is a joy to our hearts because it stirs us on. It keeps us believing. It keeps us focused upon You, upon Your word, and not upon circumstances or what is going on around us. We all of us, Lord, are going through trials, but You said that to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we must go through much trial and tribulation. But let us count it all joy, Father, when we go through these things. Because it's no mistake. You have allowed trials in our life so that You can perform Your glory in and that is why. And until we get over the frustration, the anger, sometimes the disappointments, the hurts, finally when we're out of the way and completely surrender to You, then You perform. Then You reveal Your glory, Your blessing. And Father, it's infinitely more than we can ever even begin to imagine. So Lord, all we say, less of us and more of You. Father, whatever it takes, do it for Your glory. We ask this. For yea, my people, I will say to you tonight that I have filled you with My Spirit, and it is by My Spirit that you are being taught in these last days. For it is only the Spirit that can reveal. It is only the Spirit that can open your ears and eyes and hearts, says the Lord. And so it is by My Spirit that I am teaching you My Word. And that is how faith comes. as you read and embrace and take my word into your heart through the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have a faith where you are trying it in your own strength, in your own intellect, in your work and achievement. This can only come by the Spirit of the living God. And it is by the Spirit that you embrace and receive my words, says the Lord. And the Lord is working in each one of you to glorify his name. But as the Lord has spoken this night, he's working through you and in you and through your trials, getting you out of the ways the Lord will perform, that he will reveal his glory and show that he is faithful. That is the desire of his heart. He desires to glorify his name far, far more than even you could begin to imagine. And because he is sovereign, he will glorify his name. And he desires to glorify his name through his church, his bride that makes herself ready, and through each one of you. All I have ever called you is to trust and believe, and to have that simple, childlike faith, to know that I am working in you and through you. So rest in me, says the Lord, and do not strive, but simply know that in due time the Lord will perform through you to glorify his name. For all his promises are yes, promises. Be blessed by those promises. Enjoy those promises. Embrace those promises. And allow my Spirit to work those promises as you hear the word, so that I may perform for my glory, says the Lord.
Washed us in his